You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson and this is episode 81. Usually we have a guest on the show, as you know, a guest coming on and having their dream interpreted. We did last week, we will next week, but today we're doing something a little bit different. In celebration of reaching 80 episodes, Michael and I were interviewed last week by James Williams and Dave Gray of Podcasters Emporium about the trials and tribulations of creating a weekly podcast and much more. And when we listened to the episode when it went live, we thought there's actually quite a bit there of interest to all of you, you know, from the perspective of not only the technicalities and the bloopers and the trials and the challenges of making a weekly podcast show, but also quite a lot of insight behind the scenes into the dream work itself, how we go about it, and other interesting questions like why I choose to podcast when I spend a lot of my time doing more mainstream media such as radio, television and books, etc. So we listened through to it and thought, there's some stuff in here that our podcast audience might be interested in listening to. So Michael's just chopped it down to, you know, a relatively short extract. I think it's 20 minutes out of the hour and we're presenting it for you here today. Now, but before that, I'm going to bring you some feedback from one of our previous podcast guests. And you may remember Renee. And Renee was my guest back at the end of July in episode 67. So that's what, August, September, October. That's 3.5 months ago. And Renee emailed me to say that she's just published a book. And a lot of that is due to the results of having her dream interpreted with me on the show. She actually had one interpreted in episode 67 and she also had a private consultation, and here's her feedback. So I'm quoting from Renee here because I think you'll enjoy this. She said, "I want to give you an update on how things have been since you interpreted my two dreams. I recently self-published a book called Perfect Feedback, Receiving the Answers from Within. Yay! After you interpreted my Reggie Bush and my Royal Blue dreams, I started to look inside more. There were some hidden and buried beliefs that I just did not want to face. I'm a huge believer in inner beings, inner guidance, and spiritual guidance, and I believe our dreams fall right into these categories. Because of your interpretations, I have now acknowledged the real reason behind my work ethic. I tend to overwork myself and overdo things because there was a buried belief that if money came easily, then it had to be connected to evil, illegal, or ill-gotten ways. You pointed out in one of my dreams..." Oh, what she actually said was, we won't bother editing this out, Michael. "You pointed that out in one of my dreams." Continuing, "I cannot begin to explain how that belief has shifted. Because of that, I have been able to ease up a lot and have started to let success flow to me the easy way. Also, you mentioned the tremendous value that I have inside of me. It has been a major struggle for me to open up, let my vulnerabilities show, and express myself. You showed me that our vulnerabilities are what make us special. I took that to heart. I then realized that I am so worthy of everything I've lined up for me. I can't believe it took a dream to show me that. But that's what happens sometimes when we let others tell us that we are less than or not worthy enough. I have made major steps towards changing the way I think. I can't say I have it all figured out yet, but I can say at least I have started. My inner guidance had a message for me and you helped get it to me. I am so thankful. Keep doing what you do." So that's Renee from episode 67's message. And I'm going to, with the blog that goes with today's episode, if you go there and have a look, and that will be, you can go to janetheresa.com to see that, there'll be a link direct to Renee's book. And I'll also, I think I'll also blog on Monday Renee's story and put a link there as well to her book. So you'll be able to go there and have a look at a book. But that's the kind of thing that can happen when you come on the podcast show as a guest. So I do encourage you, if you haven't been on it before, or if you know someone who would like to come on, to get in contact with me and book yourself in. So onwards with the podcaster's Emporium interview of Michael and I on the trials and tribulations, challenges, thoughts, insights, and everything else that we have achieved in getting to episode 80 and now episode 81. So here we go. This is Michael and I being interviewed by James Williams and Dave Gray of Podcasters Emporium. And I'll give you the full link to the full interview after this extract. Enjoy.
But Dave, it was interesting when we were talking to Ian Cathy, was talking about an episode that he did with a fellow called Michael Collins who wanted to interview his dad, remember? And he was in the war and he was flying planes, and the only way that he could get him to open up was to get him to drink. Well, Michael happens to produce another show on the Lifestyle Pod Network called The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson, who's his partner. And they are joining us today on the show to talk a bit about the way they record, and we'd like to welcome them to the show. Hello, Jane Theresa, and hello, Michael.
Hello, James.
Hello, James. How are you?
G'day.
Hello,
guys.
Dave.
Hey,
hi,
how are you? Yeah, it's interesting. You guys are sitting in the same room, and so are we, although you're not quite as not used to it as we aren't used to it.
Well, let me just take all those negatives out and try and work out what you said there.
I apologize. Yes, it's great to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us here at Podcasters Emporium.
Thank you.
Look, one of the things that came out of the discussion in our last show, we actually spoke to Ian Cath. And he was mentioning his interview with you, Michael, on your story.
Oh, right. That was fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And we've had a great conversation with him about how he teases conversation out of people. But one of the things that I wanted to talk to you guys about today is your show, The Dream Show, and some of the and really the way you podcast and how you do that. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what The Dream Show is all about to start?
Oh, I might answer that question.
Okay.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is, next week will be episode 79. And it's a weekly show, and it's a very, very simple format. I'm a dream analyst.
Right.
And all that I do is most weeks we have a guest, and the guest can be anywhere in the world. And the guest wants to come on the show because they've got a dream that they'd like to have interpreted. And our format is, I don't know the dream.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I can't plan too much. We intro the guests, we bring the guest on wherever they are in the world. I hear their dream and we start to talk about their dream and we interpret it and go from there. And that is the show.
And when you talk about dream interpretation, what sort of basis is that done in? How do you do that?
Many, many different methods, many of which I've developed myself over the 20 years that I've been researching dreams and writing about it. You know, I've got 6 books out there as well. So I'm regarded as a bit of an authority on dreams.
Yeah. Right.
But so a lot of it is just listening carefully to the way that the person tells the story of their dream, listening to the symbols that are there, listening to the way that they express them, standing back and looking at the whole big picture. And then, although at that point, by the time they've finished talking about the dreams, I've usually got a pretty clear idea about what the dream is reflecting about their unconscious mind and about the way that they live and see their life. But the task that I go through with the podcast show is then to ask the dreamer a few questions and gradually enter into a conversation by which, in many ways, they become more and more comfortable about understanding what the dream is. And then we go right in and interpret the dream. And the bottom line of all of that is that the dreamer then gets an insight into how their unconscious mind is affecting the way that they see and respond in their life. And therefore, if there are some areas of their life that don't really seem to be working out too well for them, we can tweak that
yeah.
by doing special exercises and going in and changing the unconscious mind. And I think what comes out of the podcast show is that listeners get to hear the process and they get to hear the guests saying, oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, wow, that's interesting. You know, and they get the ahas from the guest on the other end.
Yeah. Look, I love that because you're not new to any of this, are you? Because you've done television before and you're on radio in Brisbane.
Yeah, I do a lot of radio where I don't actually turn up at the studio, you know, and internationally as well from time to time. So I'm kind of quite used to being on the end of a phone or a microphone doing radio. And yes, television the same, either in the studio or sometimes on a live cross, which I find one of the hardest things to do because in television, you've usually got the monitor below eye level
Right.
Showing you in delay what is happening, and you're not allowed to look down there. You've got to look straight down ahead of you into the camera and make it look like you're looking everyone in the audience in the eye. And out the corner of your eye, you can see your hands waving about, like, you know,
three seconds
after you said something. So I feel much more comfortable like this, you know, just addressing a microphone.
And let's not be brash. Here in Australia, you are somewhat of a well-known identity and, dare I say, a little bit famous. You're being backward and coming forward, I can tell, and you are quite modest.
I'm a modest, famous person.
Yes, you are. But what I'm trying to say is that you are quite well known in Australia, quite well respected, and expert in your field. And it's really, I can't believe that, you know, just regular people. You just talk to regular people, don't you, on your podcast?
Yeah, and I think Dave, that's the thing. You know, we don't bring on people who are used to talking in the media, or most of the time we often bring on people that have never before done anything in public, you know, even addressed a small circle of friends. And what I find is amazing is that they're not only coming on, they know what they're doing, they're not only coming on to talk to whoever wants to listen to the podcast, but they're not talking about taking the dog for a walk. They're talking about the deep and personal contents of their unconscious mind through their dreams, and most of them are willing to shed a few tears at the end as they kind of, you know, go, oh well, you know, I feel relieved about that. So they're really, I hope that probably makes it really interesting listening too, that they're everyday people sharing deep stuff that other people don't usually talk about, can bond with and share with. And on top of that, because we do have a lot of guests from all over the world, we also have lots of different accents as well, and lots of different funny words from different countries. What do you mean by that?
Right. So given that, given the fact that you know you are quite well known, and you do TV and you do written the print media and things like that, why podcasting? Why did you decide that a medium like podcasting was applicable to someone like yourself, who obviously has other professional appointments to do with the same subject material?
Yeah, really good question. Two main answers. One is that a very good friend of mine that had been a client for many years and then became a friend and is kind of like a great supporter of my work actually stumbled across Lifestyle Pod Network and listened to some of the stuff and said to me, you know, I really think a podcast show would go down well with you. And I had a really good think about this. And then I thought, you know, it would, because a lot of the radio I do and the television I do, it is a completely different kind of presentation. It's the same idea. I have no idea what the callers or the viewers are going to ask me about their dreams. But, you know, commercial medium, the dream is out in 1 minute and you've got to give a full and meaningful analysis that's entertaining and wonderful in 30 seconds.
Oh, the joys of professional media.
Oh, yeah, you know, I can do that easy.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, yeah.
You don't. It's a completely different kind of delivery. And I thought, well, you know, perhaps there is a call for this where people really get the opportunity to sit back, you know, the niche people, and really enjoy the whole process, the really deep delving into a dream. And so I asked Michael if he was up to the technical side of it, and he said, oh, well, you know, I can learn anything. And we've tried it, tested it, and I think it works.
And so, Michael, you record the show, and this is a show that you do live, right?
Oh, completely live and unedited too, I may add, because we really haven't got the time or the expertise to do that.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you that when Jane Teresa came to me and started talking to me about podcasts, I kind of looked at her blankly, because I thought a podcast was some form of rescue vessel, Star Wars, or and then when I said, well, I hadn't seen any, she said, well, what, you know, I thought it was maybe some form of fishing podcast. I know Jane Teresa isn't into fishing, so you know, that's how much I knew about it to start with. And
tell us a bit about your learning curve.
The learning curve was extremely steep.
Right.
Extremely steep. And a lot of fun. And I do tip my hat to James Williams very, 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 very sincerely, because, you know, from the very beginning, he was ready to take us in hand and, you know, go onto Skype, which it's a quite another thing I hadn't done.
Yet another beast that needed to be tamed.
Skype, some form of, you know, aerial writing or something.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, we went on to Skype and James took us through the whole process, or took me through the technical side of it. And really, it was as simple as that. You know, I mean, even down to recommending what sort of microphone to get. And recommending where we get it from. And I know he got a kickback from it, but that's okay.
I didn't get a kickback from it, actually.
Can you organize that? Because, you know, this is something that we're trying to do for this show. But
Wait a minute. Jane Teresa got the kickback.
And so why don't you tell the listeners what you're using for your microphone?
A Rode Podcaster.
Yeah, okay.
Nice mic.
Which means that you can just plug it into the USB port.
Yeah, and... you know, that's a very, very good statement, because, you know, we have to plug it into USB ports anywhere and everywhere. And it's, you know, we're often around the place, here, there and everywhere. And we do our podcasting from so many different places. And
that was one of the unique things, Michael, that when we were talking, that I hadn't realized. I kind of knew that you did go a few places, but you do shows from quite a few different locations. Like, it's a bit transient.
Well, it's extremely challenging. I mean, you know, especially when you know, you're using different pieces of equipment, different laptops. I mean, I can tell you that a netbook does not do a good podcast.
Right.
That's interesting. Yeah.
It just won't. I mean, you get this lovely message that you have no virtual memory before you even start. You know, when you press the button, and that can be a bit disconcerting. But
so, what do you use? Do you have your own laptops that you use to do your recording?
Well, now we've got three machines that are configured to be able to do the podcasting. We've got two PCs and a laptop, but. You know, they had their interesting moments too, because we'd be in a place and find that the only thing we could use was a laptop. Jane Teresa would be in one room, and I'd be lying halfway down a set of stairs, completely out of sight, with a laptop.
Right.
I downloaded MX Skype Recorder in a hurry, and failed to change the default setting from mono to stereo.
Right.
Yeah, things like that. You know, it's been a very, very challenging but exciting time. Absolutely.
That's really great. You're using a software recording solution. You got the Rode microphone, which you're plugging directly in via USB, and then you're doing a software software recording solution.
Yeah, we use Audacity.
Yeah.
The mix down and the recording.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then paralleling that, we're recording with MX Skype Recorder.
Right.
And then dump one of the channels on the Skype one. Once we've married the two files up.
Right. So you mix the two files together. Yeah.
Yep. And then dump. It's actually I dump Jane Teresa every week. she gets the dump.
Yep.
She gets the boot. Yeah. I keep her recording on the podcasting mic, and take her off. Then once I've got them aligned and mixed properly, I take her off the MX Skype recording You've got a good recording. I think so.
No, it sounds good. And you're actually, the way that you make contact with the other, I guess the dreamer, is via Skype?
Yes.
And you phone...
Either Skype to Skype or Skype to phone.
Right. And you have a preference for phoning them, as in via landline from Skype?
It depends what goes wrong.
we did originally, when we started out, I think we wanted to have that format to make it sound like the person on the other end was on the phone.
Yeah,
right. Kind of mimic the popular appeal of the radio shows.
But right.
We kind of experimented, didn't we, Michael, after that?
Yeah, and we found that we got a nicer sort of, if we got a good connection, which
is
another interesting, we've actually done one by satellite, which...
Tell us a little bit about that, Michael, because that's quite a funny story.
That was awful. That was so bad. That was so... it was echoey, to say the least.
Right.
It was echoey for me, you know, talking to the dreamer. I had a dream. Oh, did you? Oh, yes. And then the long, huge pause in between. And I'm looking at Michael going, I can't do this, but, you know, but just have the fortitude to keep on going, thinking he'll work magic with it. It'll be fantastic.
Did he work magic?
He did not.
Not really.
He did not.
It's a shame. Sometimes that
went out bad. I mean, we put one out every Friday, and this was done on a Thursday, and it was like, too bad, guys.
Did you ditch it or did you keep it?
No, we kept it, and we put it out.
And I bet you didn't get any bad flack from it.
I don't think we did.
No, we didn't. No. Maybe we haven't got any listeners after all.
Maybe never.
I'm sure that's not the case.
I know that's not the case. So how many shows are you up to? You must be nearly up to the 100. You've certainly passed the year mark.
Yeah, we're 78 we've just done.
So you're well into the second year.
18 months.
Gee. And how is it putting out the show
every week?
Comes around very fast. I mean, it's easier for me because all I have to do is, I go for a little routine for about 15 minutes before I go on air. And all I have to do is find the microphone and sit in front of it and concentrate very hard for an hour.
Michael. Finding the microphone can be interesting sometimes.
Right.
You know, I've got to be a bit innovative and it might be in an odd place, but sorry.
That's all right.
It comes around very quickly. And on the odd occasion where we don't have a guest, I either report back, you know, often a guest will contact me privately and say, oh, this is what happened in the weeks following the dream analysis. This is how my life has changed. And these are the good things. So sometimes if we don't have a guest, I'll report back on what's happened for a guest, or I'll find some articles I've written or read some stuff from my blog, you know, kind of recycling material. Mm. And I've occasionally said to people, well, do you like this? And the response has sometimes been, well, we like the guest and we like the other shows too. So it means that I don't feel, if we haven't got a guest lined up for the next week, I'm not feeling, oh, we haven't got a guest. I'm just going with the flow. But it does come around very quickly, and we do just kind of have to release it, put out a call for occasion. You know, sometimes we'll have 5 or 6 people, you know, lined up waiting to be on the show, and then we can have a time where there's a few weeks where it's not to the last minute that somebody comes forward and says, any chance that I can be on your show? And we're going, oh, phew, thank goodness for that. So
they always seem to be a bit surprised when we do the recording and they say, well, this is actually going up tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and that gets back to, you weren't on the air when we discussed this, but we've been discussing this at length in the last two episodes, and that is the idea of the raw cut or the rough cut. And because you guys don't, do a hell of a lot of editing and putting in those hours and hours of fine tuning, do you think that contributes to your ability to be able to get the show out every week?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely, yeah. My day job is a writer.
Right.
And it would be extremely difficult for me to spend more than the sort of 3 to 4 hours total, including recording time, setting up and editing and topping and tailing and getting it up on the server.
So once it's recorded, how much time are we looking at? So once it's recorded?
I'd say maximum. And unless I've got a few self-made problems, I'd probably say it from once it's recorded, probably 2 hours.
And what's the average length of the show, Michael?
Oh, it's getting longer and longer.
There is that trap.
It's around about 50 minutes now.
5:00.
So it's 1 to 4. Your total production time is about a quarter of your finished product.
Yes.
No. No, your product is a quarter of the time it takes to make.
Yes, I'm
glad I got there in the end.
He's not a mathematician, you'd be happy to know.
I'm a mathematician.
It's something to do with daylight saving.
Yeah, that's it. That'd have to be it.
So, I guess thinking about it, and I'm only just thinking about it now, I guess it comes from, because my media background is quite different from most people's. It's spontaneous. It's in the moment. It's always gone live to air. I've only ever done live to air.
Yeah.
I've only ever done anything where you can't prepare beforehand because you don't know what's going to be presented to you.
Mm.
So it's kind of like the editing style followed that. That's what I do. It goes live. I'm not edited. And we've kind of, I guess, blindly followed that formula and then thought afterwards, oh, everybody else does exciting things and edits their shows. Just as well, we know this kind of works because it only takes us 4 hours, you know, total.
And you get a little bit blasé. I mean, Jane Therese is going to definitely tell you about the dog that snorts.
I'm fascinated. I'm riveted already.
I was hiding behind my monitor. Killing myself
I don't know how many episodes that will go back, but it was probably about episode 20 or 30, somewhere around there.
Right.
And we were looking after someone's dog.
Oh.
And this dog made picky, snorty little noises. That's Michael Goodyear.
Was it a pug?
Pretty good demonstration of it.
Was it a pug?
No, it was a silky-haired terrier, but it thought it was a pug, I think.
Because so pugs snort.
I thought it was a pig pug.
You know, I'm surprised you didn't say, please excuse my producer here.
He's in the room.
We tried everything. We tried, like, you know, the obvious, like, put it in the garden. Notice it's an it. No, I wasn't that affectionate with it. Put her in the garden, do this, that, and the other, but the barking was much louder.
Yeah.
So we had to leave the door open. And then I would kind of get, you know that it was coming. And it was the moment it passed this kind of, what do you call this, unidirectional microphone?
Right.
That as it passed, you know, its snort was hugely, its piggy grunt was hugely broadcast.
It was grunting. Grunting in a Doppler effect.
And I had to excuse it.
People get used to that though, because you know, when I actually moved house, I used to have quite an open plan house, open doors straight out onto my garden, and people used to comment all the time they could hear the crickets. And you know what people commented on when I moved? They couldn't hear the crickets anymore. And they actually noticed the absence of it, not in a bad way or a good way, just, there's no crickets anymore. Well, no, I've got an office and you've moved and you don't have the pig anymore.
I like it. I like the natural sound.
Yeah,
you know,
it's one of the... Joy's a podcast.
The whippersnippers.
Yeah, lawnmowers.
Tree grinding, the garbage trucks. We leave all those things in.
I think it's just one of the things that separates podcasting from traditional media. But I did have a question about that. And Jane Teresa, it's probably more directed at you. Has podcasting helped you? And how does the media react to you having a podcast and a blog and all of that social media stuff?
It's interesting because although that's sort of quite clearly outlined in my short bio, you know, my one paragraph bio that all radio presenters and TV presenters get to look at before they intro me, I've noticed that nobody ever mentions the podcast show.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
wow.
The book, this, that, and the other, but they never mention the podcast show.
Do they know about it?
I wonder whether it's just too new for them. You know, they're so involved in their own media that the last thing you want to do is go and listen to podcasts afterwards. I'm not sure. But I have noticed that.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's very interesting.
See, because
I'm not sure how they feel about it.
The funny thing is, though, that when you talk to radio, if they've got their own shows that are being podcast, they're very happy to broadcast it. They're very happy to talk about it. So it's curious to me why they wouldn't. But and yet maybe they just don't want to promote another show like they wouldn't promote another network.
Yeah, I think that's it. You know, yeah, I am. I'm competition. I'm taking away from the fact that I'm on their show doing, you know, micro bits of entertaining dreaming as opposed to, you know, doing an hour, an hour on my own podcast.
It speaks volumes about the media, about the medium, I should say, and about the media for that matter. And, you know, one of my big beefs with mainstream media is the fact that they dominate the iTunes store. And it's great to be one up on them, and it's great to be on the Lifestyle Pod Network in direct competition to them, because I think we give them a run for their money, and I think you do too.
Yeah, thank you. I have found it quite interesting, you know, that as I say, I'm used to doing on radio and particularly on television, the very quick chat, you know, deal with a dream in a few seconds. And so this ability to be able to languish almost, you know, and go as deeply as I enjoy doing, obviously satisfies another market and satisfies me and definitely satisfies the other dreamer. But doing the two, especially if I'm doing the two on one day, you know, the contrast is quite big. So in many ways, it's fine-tuned the ways in which I deliver both. It's probably sharpened my ability to do a short, sharp show as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. Was there anything that surprised you when you got into podcasting?
I think the length of time that I could, because when we first came up with the format, we thought maybe, and this was, you know, James, you helped us with this too.
Sure.
We thought maybe, you know, 10 minutes would be about as much as any listener would want to listen to Dream Interpretation. You know, and one of the first responses we got was, can we have a bit longer? Can you make it less rushed? And so in many ways we responded to the market by lengthening and lengthening and lengthening it. And sometimes now we get to the end of a show and I say to Michael, surely that was too long. And he goes, no, that's interesting. You know, and the response, because I'm sitting there listening to my own voice for that long.
You know. I want to keep a job, so.
But the feedback has been that people like the longer shows. So I guess that's been one surprising thing to me, that, you know, the long, deep and meaningful has been something that people want, particularly in a niche field. Mm. And that brings me back, you know, Dave, to what you were just saying just there about, you know, what we can learn from the current state of TV and radio media. You know, it's just getting, sorry, folks, but it's getting dumber and dumber and dumber.
Yeah, right. And more ads.
And we don't do that in podcasts. Can we just stop for a commercial break for the moment?
Do you find that that's more rewarding? I'm not trying to say, because I think they're two very separate mediums, and I think that you're in a difficult position in which you've got interests in both. But do you find the podcasting aspect to your career, for want of a better word, is compliments and reward? Do you get rewards from that are different from doing mainstream media like radio and TV?
Definitely. I find podcasting personally rewarding. I also find TV and radio personally rewarding, and I'll go into that in a minute. But podcasting I enjoy. But what it does for both for our business and our helping in the world is it really is an opportunity to fully demonstrate for free to as many people as want to listen what dream interpretation is about, how deeply powerful it really can be. You know, so that people can either benefit from that for free just by listening. It's kind of spreading the message, doing your good stuff in the world. And it also, of course, shows people that do want to come and spend money to consult me, you know, themselves by phone or by Skype, what kind of depth of work can be covered. So, you know, there's that aspect. Creatively, everyone loves creative control, don't they? So that's good.
Absolutely. Heck, we wield it all the time.
By the same token, I can get a buzz out of doing the radio and TV, because it's like, you know, you get to the end of it and think, well, you know, I actually made, on most occasions, I made really good use of that 5 minutes. You know, I got across a lot and it made me sharp. It made me creative, made me think. So I do actually enjoy both. And for radio and TV, I'm also able to get across to the general listening public and the general media who may just think, oh, you know, I have funny dreams from time to time, but it's meaningless. You just get that little opportunity to say to people, maybe it's not meaningless. Maybe there's something, you know, that you can really learn from this. You can get some insights. So for me, I while I love podcasting, I also totally embrace and love doing the radio and television, because it opens up that door for me to attract other people. Give them a little bit of insight, give them something, and then hopefully they come over and listen to the, you know, not only listen to the deeper stuff on the podcast, but maybe come on the show as a guest and get some help for free while also helping all the other listeners.
Yeah, that's absolutely, it's really comforting to hear that you can actually balance the two. That's, I expected that, but I not quite in that way, so.
No, the thing is, you have to remember which one you're on. You know, when you just hang on a minute, I've got to do this dream in 3 seconds. I've got to do this one in 45 minutes.
What a challenge!
I hope you enjoyed that. And if that's not enough for you, and you want the full extended version with a lot more funny stories thrown in, you can go to, now this is a long address, I'm going to give it to you, but I'll also put it on the blog that accompanies today's episode. The address you can go to is www.lifestylepodnetwork.com.au/podcastersemporium. Now, those are all one word, you know, Lifestyle Pod Network's all one word and Podcasters Emporium's all one word. So here we go again, www.lifestylepodnetwork.com.au/podcastersemporium/. And that was episode 24. Have a listen, leave some comments there, come back, leave some comments on my blog, enjoy, pass around, and if you're ever thinking of, if you've been thinking, oh, I might do a podcast show one day, I hope we've inspired you to do that, raw, cut and all. what else have we got for you today? I think that's about it. I hope you enjoyed Renee's story, and I'd like to encourage you to come along to my blog at janetheresa.com. That's Jane Theresa, of course, without an H. And have a think about signing up to receive our updates by email. So as you know, I blog two or three times a week on quite a diverse range of subjects, not always completely to do with dreams, but always of interest to people that are interested in dreams. And you may already subscribe by RSS, but of course it's really easy to pop along to the blog, stick your email address in the little box there, and my blogs will come straight to you with their pictures as well into your inbox two or three times a week. And it's a nice way just to stay in touch, because obviously as a podcast listener, you love the kind of chatty version of dreams that we do. And it's kind of the same on the blog. So have a look at that too. And I think that is really a wrap for today's show. So we'll be back with a guest next week. Enjoy. Please pass the link around. We are listened to in 30 countries, which is fantastic. Share it, enjoy it, and I'll see you next Friday for another edition of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.